Hello, Taylor County. I'm Alex Renneman with Unleashed Tigered, and I'm here with Bobby Miller and Sue Guthrie, who are running for magistrate in the First District. Ladies, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we are, as voters can see, we have both candidates for Division I in this forum today, and we're doing that so you can see both candidates together. And we've got a few questions we're going to walk through. And as decided randomly previously, we're going to start out with Sue. And beginning this, if you'll both just kind of go through just a brief introduction of who you are and what you're about. So Sue, we'll start with you.
Okay, I'm Sue Guthrie. I am a lifelong resident of Taylor County. I was born and raised here. I am a wife to Mark Guthrie. I have two children, Andrea and Jed, and I have four grandchildren and one on the way. So I'm pretty excited about that. I spent 28 years in corrections. During that period of time, I also worked and got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice with the concentration in administrative law. I retired from corrections, the Salem Correctional Center, as a director of classification. I overseen the parole, the records, the movement, the programs, the classification of all the inmates and everything. So I had a very vast knowledge of the system. When I retired, I still was too young to take Social Security, of course, so I became a mailman, which was always something I wanted to do, but I carried mail for a couple of years until this position came open, and I contacted Judge Moats, and I said, I'm interested, so he and I talked, and I did the interview with him and Judge Nines, and they appointed me at that point, and I was tickled to death. It was always a goal of mine when I got my degree to be magistrate. And I figured I'd have to wait for Rick Reese to retire before I could get into that position. So luckily I didn't have to, and I'm honored to serve the citizens of Taylor County.
Excellent. Thanks. Bobby, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Bobby Miller. I'm born and raised in Taylor County as well. I have two sons. My youngest is just turned 18, and he's a senior at Grafton High School this year. So we've been very busy. I have 15 years of experience. August of this year will be 15 years. I was a paralegal for the Department of Health and Human Resources, BCSC division, for almost 9. And I just started my 8th year with the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals Family Court Division for Monongahela and Preston counties. So to date, I've worked with 14 different magistrates in 2 different counties, and it's been a really great experience. I've worked in Taylor County as a caseworker for the BCSC, Marion County, Preston, and Mons. So I've got to see the difference, demographics between all 4 of those counties and how things work, and have met a lot of people in the system, and it's been great. I've also been a personal trainer, boot camp instructor, and wellness coach since 2013. And it's fun because actually half of my clients in Marion County were the prosecuting attorney assistants and the attorneys. So I have these double role relationships with people and from 2 very different worlds, and it's been a great time.
Awesome. That's great. Well, ladies, let's get right into the first question. And Bobby, we'll stay with you on this. And it's, how do you view the role of the magistrate in our legal system? And what approach would you take towards ensuring justice if you're fortunate enough to be elected as magistrate?
I think the magistrate court is one of the most important judiciary offices that we have, because probably at least 75% of just your common people are going to go to the magistrate court. They do not need to have an attorney. It is the people's court. And there's just so many different aspects of it, from civil to suits to violence to crime, you know. So it's a very vast job. And I want to approach it with having a very strong sense of discernment, being kind, and treating everybody who comes through the door with respect, regardless of why they're there. And keeping humanity the point of the job and realizing that you can enforce consequences while still maintaining that level of respect and dignity.
Great. Thank you, Bobby. Sue, your perspective and approach on the role of magistrate?
Well, the magistrate covers such a variety of issues, you know, from assessing fines and arraigning the subjects. And, you know, you get a lot of people at their most vulnerable moments. You know, we also have to deal with the domestic violence issues and the mental hygiene hearings and even the juvenile detention hearings. And that's not easy times for folks, you know. So it does, you have to provide them with assurance that you're there for them. You're going to make sure that everything is done legally, okay? Above all, you know, you're holding them accountable. However, there's a manner in which you can do it that you don't degrade them any more than they're already feeling. You know, they're, I don't know how I want to really say it other than a lot of them is alone out there in the world, you know, so you're also providing a moment of support to them, providing them with tools for their toolbox, getting them, you know, so they can succeed out there in the world once they're through this moment of their dilemma in their life, whether it be criminal, whether it be domestic, you know, mental, drug addiction. So much of it all goes together too, you know. So I've always found that I can have a conversation with them. Sometimes they're out of control. Sometimes they can't, you know, you can't bring them down so they can talk to you. And those are conversations that you have to have with them at a later time. But for the most part, I like, you know, they're a human being and they deserve to be treated as such. So I bring that to, you know, I treat everybody the same. Yes, I have to hold you accountable, but we can do it in a respectful way.
Yeah, and I know both of you have already maybe touched on some of this in your intros, but Sue, we'll stay with you. I'd like to discuss a little more about your experience and highlights in your past that may make you feel that you're a successful candidate for this next cycle of magistrate.
Okay. Well, you know, that 28 years in corrections, that really gave me a background in dealing with a variety of people. You know, when you deal with inmates, the manipulation is unreal. And a lot of that boils into this situation as well. Okay. I can be in the courtroom and for the most part, be able to tell whether or not you're talking truthful with me or if you're just feeding me a line of BS. So, and I'll call you on it. I may call you on it and I may just let you rattle off and that, you know, it can go both ways. The Supreme Court supplies us with education throughout the year, you know, and prepares us for a lot of, you know, gives us scenarios and things and ways in which to deal with people as well. So that always helps, you know, but my past background, I had to deal with the inmates a lot. I had to work with them, meet with them privately and confidentially. And that's a big issue too, within the judicial system here too. A lot of the stuff we deal with does have some confidentiality and you need to be able to know when to not speak up and say things about other people and so forth and so on. So it's just the, you know, my life skills that I've dealt with, raising the kids and dealing with people out there in the world in general, prepares you for what you might have to deal with in a courtroom, whether it be mental hygiene, because I've seen some pretty crazy things out there in the world with when dealing with parents and sport activities. I don't know how else to say it other than, some of them can get pretty mean and pretty radical, and it's uncalled for too. So, just life in general has prepared me for this job. Whether it be my education, my career topic, or just being a human being out there amongst everybody.
Makes sense. So, Bobby, your highlights of an experience that might show your qualifications for this job?
I think working 15 years in domestic relations, and some of those have been civil contempts, that has a consequence of being incarcerated. I've dealt a lot with high conflict families, and being divorced myself, I've co-parented successfully 50-50 since 2009. And so I have that personal experience of, I know what it's like to go through a divorce. I know what it's like to have a high conflict relationship with somebody, but learn how to be led by respect and compromise. And that's one of the reasons why I got hired with this job, for this job, was whenever the judge found out that I had been successfully co-parenting myself, he knew that it would be very beneficial whenever we do our mediation screenings, because I would say the majority of our divorces are very, very high conflict. And you do have mental illness playing a factor in that. And when people, when conflict comes in about people's money, their property, and their kids, you can see a very vindictive side. And it does take a professional to deal with it. Before I started my legal career, I worked in customer service for 4 years. And it wasn't a job that I loved, but it even prepared me for where I am now, because it taught me that proper etiquette on the phone, and how to keep your cool and how to remain polite and respectful when the conversation starts going in a direction that may be volatile or hostile, or you're actually being attacked. And those customer service skills have helped me with this job, because my boss here does expect a level of customer service offered to our clients. Half the people are pro se. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand the terminology. They don't understand the paperwork, and they have several questions and they have several concerns. And then whenever you throw in that people are depressed, they're sad, they're angry, they're desperate, you really have to have the disposition and personality to deal with it, as well as the professionalism. And so I think all of that will help me be an effective magistrate. I think that we've had to deal with a lot of inmates. I'm on the phone every single week with Tigard Valley Regional Jail, with a counselor there, with counselors from Hazleton, with counselors from North Central Regional Jail. I have to coordinate those telephonic hearings with them. I prep half of all of Monongahela and Preston County domestic violence protective orders. And so it's very, very different than Taylor County, because right now, from January 1st, I've already prepared almost 100. And so it is very busy. We have almost 20 domestic violence hearings tomorrow alone. And so you have to have a good rapport with law enforcement, with the prosecuting attorney's office, with the domestic violence advocates. And there's several people that you have to work with, and you have to work with effectively to help all of our jobs be doing the legal thing, following the Constitution, and in the best interest of the people involved.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I think you both have mentioned fairness at some point already. And so, Bobby, I'll stay with you on this. How do you plan to maintain impartiality and fairness in your decisions if you're elected as the magistrate?
Well, for one thing, you follow the West Virginia State Code and you follow the West Virginia State Constitution. I don't really agree when people say that magistrate court is the common sense court. It is actually the one court that has most of the laws ingrained in it. I mean, you have everything's West Virginia state code. So the common sense is to use that system, use that protocol, and it requires you to be unbiased. That is the rule. There's no compromise on that. That when you sign up for the job, that's what you sign up for.
That makes sense. Sue, impartiality and fairness in your decisions?
Well, I'll disagree a little bit there. Common sense does play a big role in this. Yes, impartial. You know, remaining impartial is not meeting with the defendants or the attorneys and the law enforcement prior to the hearing. And, you know, yes, you have to meet with law enforcement if warrants are involved. Yes, you get criminal complaints that you have to arraign people and then you may have them in a hearing. So you have certain knowledge about it, but you have to remain impartial. And a lot of the common sense, yes, it's code dictates, you know, the penalties, for instance, okay? Excuse me. Code does dictate how much and what you can do and, for instance, how much of a fine, you know. Say it's $100 to $500, no less than $100, but no more than $500. And, you know, so this person, you know, perhaps went above and beyond and did, you know, some community service or something, or did, you take a lot of, there's lots of things you can take into consideration when handing down a judgment. Okay, if you have someone that continuously goes out and commits the same crime over and over and over again, you know, you're eventually going to get tired of seeing them in the courtroom. And each time that fine could possibly go up a little bit more, you know, somewhere there needs to be a break there. You know, the first offender may only get a $100 fine, where the fifth offender may get that $500 fine. So some of that is, you know, the common sense plays into it. A lot of times there is also circumstances that may play into it, without getting into a lot of detail there, that might break that code that I need to stick with. But I've always felt that I have done what is right, what is, you know, I follow the code, yes. I hold you accountable, yes. But in holding a defendant accountable, I'll also hold law enforcement accountable. I'll also hold prosecuting attorneys accountable. You know, they all have a job to do as well. And just because this person did wrong doesn't mean that they can do something wrong and not have to follow that procedure as well. So, you know, I like to run a quiet courtroom. I won't allow a lot of disagreement and a lot of arguing in my courtroom. And I don't want to discuss the situation with you prior to the hearing, whether it's law enforcement or prosecutors or attorneys or defendants. So, and the common sense does play a big role in that.
So Sue, staying with you on this, what strategies have you employed or will you employ to engage and educate the community about the legal system, and in particular, the magistrate court?
Oh, well, you know, my door is always open. I get phone calls daily of people wanting to, you know, what can I do about this? And a lot of times, and a lot of issues, if I can tell by talking with someone that this is going to wind up in the courtroom. I'll pass it on to my assistant and let her explain some of the issues and what I can do, what I can't do type questions. Simply so I can be impartial. Okay. It is the people's court, so I need to be as fair to everybody, you know, and by having that conversation, or, you know, if it's too late and I get too much information, then I'll pass it on to the other magistrates. So we do that to each other occasionally. So, okay. But, you know, it's bottom line, being fair, being impartial. My door's open. I'll talk with anybody and I'll help anybody. I like I said once before, I'll put tools in your toolbox that will help you succeed at everything.
Great. Bobby, engaging and educating the community?
Something I've already been doing for the past 4 years is going to Rich Zukowski social study class for seniors. And we joke, and sometimes we call it keeping it real with Bobby, or the Jerry Springer side of domestic relations. And, you know, because we try to be a little bit humorous to keep the kids engaged. But basically, I go over the issues that I've had for the last 15 years when I get phone calls from moms and grandmas wanting to know this or wanting to know that. And basically, those issues are, you know, how to get a DNA test and how can you see your baby if somebody's refusing you to come to the hospital? You know, why it's important not to text threats, because then they can get a protective order against you and you don't go turkey hunting or you don't go deer hunting because you can't have a firearm with the DVPO. And so just breaking down some basic warnings like, hey, you know what? There's a purpose for communicating effectively and not violently, because you can get this protective order. And even though it's civil and it doesn't go on your background, if you violate it, you go to jail and you don't go hunting, and it can prevent you from getting certain jobs. And also sending literature for the domestic violence agency in Grafton, because there's several people that are unaware that RDVIC exists, that there are agencies and programs out there to assist with people who are being victims of certain crimes, and letting them know, you know, the child support office is not just for the custodial parent. It's also for the non-custodial parent. Anybody can fill out an application. Anybody can get a free DNA test. I mean, these are all things that I get several questions about on a weekly basis for the past decade. And so talking to them at an age, hoping that there's preventive maintenance there. You know, if it just helps one person there be spared of conflict or turmoil, or not having anybody, not even knowing what phone number to call and ask, like, how do I get this addressed? Who can answer this question? And so I've even been asked that, should I be elected or not be elected, that when my son graduates this year, if I would still come back and continue to do that one day a year, because the students, they do like it, they do enjoy it, and they ask some really interesting questions. It's always very shocking where their curiosity leads them and what they ask, and it can be very random or it can be very practical. And so that's something that I've prided myself in doing, and hoping that, you know, it does help at least one person. And you know, just already helping the Rape and Domestic Violence Center spread awareness. I've set up workshops for women in Preston County to go and learn about healing and, you know, just how to stop attracting more abusers into your life and to understand trauma bonding. And so that's what I've done so far. And I don't know if getting elected, how much of that I can continue to do, but as long as I'm allowed to send out awareness of issues that I know are affecting our community, I'll continue to do that.
Excellent. Well, ladies, it's customary on this program that we give the last word to the candidate. And so we'll start, Bobby, we'll stay with you and we'll start with you. What is it you'd like the folks of Taylor County to hear from you as we conclude this interview?
I just like them to know that I find it an honor to serve my community. I've been serving, you know, Monongalia County and Preston County, and I would really enjoy and appreciate getting into the town that I was born and raised in. And I do think that my experience has given me a good sense of discernment. Maybe you call that common sense. I don't know. But, and I feel that I can do a good job at this.
Great. Thanks. Sue, what would you like the folks of Taylor County to hear from you as we conclude this interview?
Oh, well, when I first applied for the job, I did it because it was a goal of mine. And, to one day be magistrate, and accomplishing that goal now, it's become more of a purpose. I've gained a lot of insight on some of the programs, placements, things that Taylor County needs while performing my duties. I've put a lot of focus on getting people into drug rehab and following through with them with it. I try to connect people with more resources to succeed. And there's a lot of people driving around without license, and it could be simply because they just need to get on a payment plan and for the fines they have. And that encouragement alone, just, you know, give them the information. All you need to do is get on a payment plan. We can work with DMV. We can get your license back. You won't be out there breaking the laws, you know, simple things like that. That means a lot to most people. And I've always been good with working with people like that. This is the people's court and I'm the people's magistrate.
Excellent.
Yes, I hold people accountable for their behaviors. However, I can provide the encouragement and the resources to ease that burden just a little. So I thank them for their support, and I look forward to serving them another 4 years.
Excellent. Ladies, thank you. Sue Guthrie and Bobby Miller, both running for Division I Magistrate here in Taylor County. Ladies, thanks for coming on the program, and good luck in the election.
Thanks for having me.